You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 10th, 2020, as you just heard on the network news, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing she will take steps next week to send the impeachment articles to the Senate. I told you about that in the last hour, that it was breaking news at that point. Now we're getting more details. And she's saying, I've asked the Judiciary Committee Chairman Nadler to be prepared to bring to the floor next week a resolution to appoint managers, transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate. So she's finally beginning to move forward. I don't think she still wants to do it. I think she just would like to back out of it, but she can't. They're in too deep. In the meantime, the Trump administration imposing new sanctions on Iran following those attacks on U.S. and allied troops. Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the president issuing an executive order adding additional sanctions against any individual owning, operating, trading with, or assisting sectors of the Iranian economy, including construction, manufacturing, textiles, and mining. In other words, we're going to shut you down tight, as we should, because we've got to get Iran under control. Oh, by the way, here comes one of the mayoral, might as well run for mayor again, Pete Buttigieg, a presidential candidate on the Democrat ticket. He is now implicitly blaming President Trump for that jetliner that was shot down after it was flying out of Tehran. His remarks, innocent civilians are now dead because they were caught in the middle of an unnecessary and unwanted military tit-for-tat. Yep, that's directly aimed at President Trump. By the way, this word coming in, we have a Russian warship that reportedly was aggressively approaching a U.S. Navy destroyer operating in the Northern Arabian Sea yesterday. They apparently ignored warnings repeatedly from our U.S. vessel. They did increase the risk of a collision, but that did not happen. But apparently they got within 180 feet of our ship. That's mighty close. U.S. border on special alert because we have intel saying that a suicide bomber, at least one, maybe more, trying to come across the U.S.-Mexico border. Whether or not this is tied to the Iranian incidents of late or something new, I'll leave it to you to discuss if you want. But the bottom line is, does this not reassure you that we're doing the best we should be doing and need to do more to make sure our borders are protected? I don't know how many times I've pointed out, when they stream across our border like they've been doing, we don't know who they are, what they are. They just get across. Shut it down. Well, former Vice President Joe Biden got an endorsement. He got an endorsement from a big California, the Los Angeles mayor. Big deal. Oh, and billionaire left-wing mega donor Tom Steyer now is the sixth candidate to qualify for next week's Democrat debate in Iowa on Thursday. It's still not clear if that debate will be held now as scheduled due to impeachment. See, that's the key. Some of those Democrats who are senators running for the White House, Booker, Warren, Sanders, Klobuchar, they're going to be needed in the Senate unless they want to forgo that duty and spend their time campaigning. How would that look to those folks around them they're trying to get more money from and tell them that I'm going to be the next president? We have another Democrat dropping out. No surprise here. Marianne Wilson, the author, she said, I'm ending my campaign. We already knew that was coming. She cut her campaign staff last week. And how are they going to continue? And who would continue to give money if you're cutting your campaign staff, dropping them entirely? So now she's made it official. And what we know is going to happen if we continue to allow this to develop. Illegal voting. And by that, I don't mean just illegals doing the voting, but those who are voting illegally. New York State Senate Democrats moving forward with legislation to automatically register all residents who get a driver's license through the New York Department of Motor Vehicles. As of this year, they've already decided if you're an illegal alien, you can get a driver's license in New York. You had to be stupid to not know the next step would be, while you're getting your driver's license, we can now register you to vote. Now they say they're going to do it automatically. You get a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Illegal aliens. How about some good news? U.S. economy adding 145,000 jobs in December. Unemployment rate holding steady at 3.5%, matching the lowest level in 50 years. Yes, making America great again.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate, and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Papa was a rolling stone,
my son.
Wherever he laid his hat, he was his home.
And when he died,
all he left was alone. Now listen to me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the War Powers Resolution, as passed in 1973, sometimes simply called the War Powers Act, is a federal law intended to check the U.S. President's power to commit the U.S. to an armed conflict without consent of the U.S. Congress. In other words, of course, Congress is the only body that can declare war, but it also holds the purse strings if the President's doing something it doesn't want. Congress can try to shut down some of the monies. The War Powers Resolution requires a president to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing armed forces to military action and forbids them remaining for more than 60 days. The War Powers Resolution passed by the House yesterday and going to the Senate for approval as well reduces that time to 30 days because it's Donald Trump. So the House of Representatives delivering this rebuke, basically just simply a show of their attitude regarding President Trump. Resolution passing 224 to 194. It's a concurrent resolution, means it only requires the approval of both chambers of Congress, does not need to go to the president for his signature. Republicans say, well, that just proves it's non-binding, largely symbolic. Symbolic, I should say. And I agree. But still within the vote, there's some interesting stories. Seven of the eight Democrats who voted with Republicans for this are freshmen. And one of the three Republicans voting with Nancy Pelosi to impose the new restrictions on President Trump is a close ally of Donald Trump. What happened on either side of those stories? We'll break it down for you. But let's begin, first of all, again, with this War Powers Resolution. And again, we already have an act, a federal act, the War Powers Act. It's been violated in the past. Obama violated it. Nothing was done. Bill Clinton did it in 1999 during the bombing campaign in Kosovo. Congress disapproved of all of it, but nothing was done in any successful legal action taken against the president for violating it. And now we just have this, again, a symbolic resolution. Why? Well, because, again, we're looking at a partisan, not a patriotic decision, a partisan decision. Here are the words of Senator Schumer as he pushes it in the Senate.
I've become increasingly alarmed about the strike. A strike that was carried out with insufficient transparency. It's indicative of President Trump's foreign policy record, which is riddled by chaotic, uninformed, erratic, and impulsive decision-making.
The strike he's talking about is the decision to kill the Iranian Quds leader, military force leader, Soleimani. First of all, could you really have all these important members of Congress gather quickly enough to say, we got him in our sights. Is it okay? You want to take a vote? Do we shoot or not? Well, let's debate. Let's form a committee on that. Let's get a full briefing. Let's get something. BS. You're working in a real-time world atmosphere, war theater. Make a decision. And to that extent, this president made a decision. And did the same as Obama in the past. And I praised Obama for taking out Osama bin Laden. I don't see the left praising Trump one time. Have you heard anything from anyone on the left saying, thank God he took that guy out? No, what you hear are, at the very best, yeah, he's a bad character, bad guy, but we needed more transparency. And this is just indicative that Trump doesn't know what he's doing. It's all chaotic. I have not seen one Democrat up to this point come out and declare support for President Trump taking out Soleimani. But I've got a piece of evidence right now that shows there is at least one willing to speak out. And it includes among those voting yesterday to keep that war powers resolution from being passed. In other words, siding with President Trump, not Nancy Pelosi. One of the eight Democrats that did that is New York Congressman Max Rose. Max Rose is an Army veteran who earned a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart in Afghanistan. And when it comes to the, as Schumer said, this act was wrong in taking out Soleimani, Congressman Rose said, no, I support the action to get rid of that terrorist.
The killing of Qasem Soleimani was legal, justified. No one should mourn his loss. He was a terrorist through and through. And if you're looking for justification, I've got 600 points of justification for you. The 600 soldiers whom he killed in Iraq, U.S. soldiers.
That's exactly right. Soleimani blamed for 600 American casualties, hundreds of injured, multiple numbers of maimed for life, as he carried out his terrorist acts using his proxies all over the world and also in Afghanistan and elsewhere, making sure that we were going to be victims possibly of some of their improvised explosive devices, that our troops would be subjected to attacks from time to time, maybe even inside our own ranks, as they would get in and pose as an ally and then turn the guns on us. Congressman Max Rose made it clear, I was not going to play politics with questions of war and peace, and he supports the killing of Soleimani. And as I also said, three Republicans decided to go with Nancy Pelosi. One of them, Florida Congressman Rooney, former U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican under President George W. Bush. He's retiring after this term. He's been critical of his party and Trump repeatedly. He even left the door open on impeaching Trump, but then eventually voted against both articles of impeachment last month. But he's not a Trump supporter. another being Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie. He said in a floor speech last night that the vote, quote, isn't about supporting or opposing President Trump. He said it is a vote about exercising our constitutional authority. And again, pointing out that Congress has the authority to declare war, not the president. By the way, his district, the 4th District in Kentucky, voted for Trump by 36 points in 2016. It's rated a solid Republican base. But Massie has turned his back on not just Trump, but the party on some issues. In fact, he was one of 13 Republicans voting to overturn Trump's emergency declaration to fund construction of the wall on the Mexican border. He tweeted at the time, "If legislators always vote with the president, we have a king." So he's justified his vote in that fashion. The other Republican, I got to tell you, if I were asked yesterday before this vote came down, and I was told three Republicans will end up voting with Nancy Pelosi to limit President Trump and his actions going forward, this would be one of the last guys I'd put on the list. I would never even approach putting him on the list to support Nancy Pelosi. He is one of Trump's staunchest allies in Congress. And he did work to have any reference to Soleimani removed from the resolution. Apparently those were some words in there that make it clear that we were wrong to kill a terrorist. His name is Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Here's his explanation.
I spoke to the president today after one of America's brave patriots was laid down at Arlington, one of my constituents who passed away just days before Christmas in Afghanistan. And the president told me he's more anti-war than I am. And I love the president for that, Tucker. The thing is, I think you got a few of the advisors of the president who are trying to slow walk the administration into war. When the president relies on his instincts and we have the Trump doctrine, we kill the terrorists and we come home. And I think this war powers resolution was worthy of support because it did not criticize the president. It did not say he was wrong in killing Soleimani. But it did say that if any president wants to drag our nation into another forever Middle East war, that they require the approval of the United States Congress. That's something I deeply believe, and I think it's something the president deeply believes.
Well, I understand what he's saying, that he conferred with the president before he cast his vote, and the president said, well, I'm against war, too. And Congressman Gaetz apparently having a big hand in making sure there's no reference to Soleimani and saying that taking him out was a mistake and a bad idea. But he still ended up siding with Nancy. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi has the attitude, we must ensure, here's one of her remarks that she put out on a tweet after we began to have Iranian missiles launched into U.S. bases in Iraq. She said, we must ensure the safety of our service members, including ending needless provocations from the administration and demanding that Iran cease its violence. Blaming Trump for the provocations. Blaming Trump because we took out the terrorist that was responsible for all of these attacks against Americans and American troops. So Congressman Gaetz wanted to take the attitude that I let the president know, and I also have some concerns about how some of it's done, and that he thought this was the best thing to do. He said, we took out the resolution condemning him for killing Soleimani. And Congressman Gaetz says, and as he was mentioning, he's on Tucker Carlson's program, he said, I think it's possible that we can pass a resolution and yet still support the president.
It's unfortunate that I think we have members of Congress that depart from what the framers and founders believed would happen. They believed that we would closely guard our Article I powers and that we would ensure that no president would be able to take those away in any sort of affront to what was intended for us to be our responsibility. It's my belief that declaring war is a non-delegable duty of the United States Congress. And it's ludicrous for any of my colleagues to suggest that we have to not do our job so that people in uniform can do theirs. We can actually do both, Tucker. The president probably would have preferred that I vote with the other Republicans. He certainly said that. But I think on these broader questions of war and peace, Donald Trump understands that the pro-war candidate loses presidential elections. Hillary Clinton was more pro-war and lost. And if you look previously, it's typically the anti-war candidates that won. I think since 9/11, John Kerry was the only anti-war candidate that lost an election. And so I think that the president understands that, and he's too smart to let Nancy Pelosi try to cast him as the pro-war candidate. And that's why I don't think we're going to war with Iran.
That's all understandable. And Congressman Gates again saying that we have to affirm that Congress has the authority to declare war, not the president. I still say, Congressman Gates, if I'd been in a position to advise you, and he did not call me for advice, rightly so, but if I had, I would say, why don't you do this? Why don't you go and vote against Pelosi's resolution? And then hold a news conference and say, I voted against it, but I want to make sure everyone understands Congress still has this authority, and I don't think we're going to be going to war anyway, so this is kind of a moot issue. I think that could have been an option. But now he's on record as a vote against Trump on it. I want you to hear again from the Democrat that I talked about earlier, Congressman Max Rose, as to why he made the decision to go the other direction. I mean, when you listen to him, you think you're going to be listening to a Republican. His viewpoint is that close. Still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, I pointed out in the past that many of the young who embrace socialist ideas and the Democrats, it all would come to an end if you said, well, the first thing we're going to do is take your phone from you and share it with other people because you shouldn't have a phone and no one else has one. Well, there's a proposal by a Democrat that no one under the age of 21 should have a cell phone. Now, I'll get to that a little bit later here. Back to the issue at hand, this war powers resolution thing, which means absolutely nothing. But Congressman Matt Gaetz, a Republican, decided to vote with Pelosi. Voting with President Trump on the issue and against Pelosi, as I mentioned earlier, New York Congressman Max Rose, Army vet, earning a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart in Afghanistan. Why did he decide to vote against the resolution being pushed by the Democrats?
So here we stand today, and no one still wants war, but what we also do not want is a political messaging document that only restates constitutional separations of power. This is not the time for this. We have got to think about national security as well as putting politics aside. We should not be passaging resolutions like we just did today, which sends the message to the American people that we're on the brink of war. I don't believe that we are. Qasem Soleimani was a terrorist who should have been killed, and no one should mourn his loss. And moving forward, we have got to consider things through that lens.
So you just heard a congressman sounding like a conservative, a Republican, but it's Congressman Max Rose, a Democrat. But he said, I refuse to play politics with the questions of war and peace. And his point being that the resolution, if you're just going to reaffirm the War Powers Act, we already know we have that. Congress already knows it has the authority. But now you're trying to circumvent and pull the president back, say instead of 60 days, you've got to make a decision within 30 days. You got to deal with us before you do anything else. And it's only because it's Donald Trump. You cannot get past that, my friend. I don't care where your politics lie. All of this is being done is because it's Donald Trump as commander-in-chief. I pointed out previously how Bill Clinton violated the War Powers Resolution as passed in 73, how Obama did the same, and neither one of them was really challenged effectively. No one cared. They went with the Democrat. And they also had the attitude, hey, if we're engaged in something, let's support our president. You know, the other day when Iran began to fire those missiles into Iraq, hitting two bases where we have U.S. troops, we had no U.S. casualties. We had 4 hours notice that they were coming, so we moved our people around, obviously. And there was a thought that maybe the Iranians didn't really want to kill any American troops because that would escalate things, so they just wanted to put on a show of force. And then yesterday, members of the Pentagon say, no, we think they were definitely trying to kill Americans. Well, now today, the Iranian U.N. ambassador says, no, we were not trying to kill any Americans. That was not our intent. Well, then what the hell was it? Who knows the way they're doing it? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the darling of the Democrats, and now many of them say, I hate you.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Larry Connors USA.
I told you earlier the U.S. is imposing new sanctions on Iranian steel and other metals. In other words, we're making it very clear we're going to shut down that country if they continue to behave the way they have been. They continue to threaten that they're going to expand their nuclear efforts to create nuclear weapons. This involves everything from construction, manufacturing, textiles, mining. 8 senior Iranian officials who were involved in the Tuesday strike, they are also directly named, all part of our commitment to stop the Iranian regime's global terrorist activities. And they will be in effect until Iran stops the terrorist activities and commits to never having a nuclear weapon. See, that's a lot better than signing a deal, as Obama did with them, and sending them $150 billion, releasing it to them, or then also sending $1.7, $1.8 billion in cash on a plane overnight. What we do is say, you're going to change your behavior, or we're going to continue to cripple your economy. And we made it clear we're not interested in change of regime. Let them deal with their own regime. But we will want and demand a change of attitude. And in the meantime, you got Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who has been criticizing President Trump for his, quote, unmeasured response and in waging economic warfare against Iran. She says, it's not fair. You're being so tough. She said, this makes no sense. Sanctions are economic warfare. based on what I just told you, yeah, we're going to make sure that we cut them out. And she's saying they've already caused medical shortages and countless deaths in Iran. Do you really believe the U.S. is responsible for any of those deaths in Iran? Those people, if they don't have food and water, their government is responsible, their leaders. And many of those in Iran, they may or may not want the Ayatollah, but they really don't want to be under that reign, and yet they are at this point, and they don't dare speak out. But again, Omar, Minnesota Democrat, Muslim, said, "You cannot claim to want de-escalation, then announce new sanctions with no clear goal. That's not a measured response." We have a clear goal. You're going to change your attitude, or we're going to continue to put pressure on you. And yet here she comes around and suggests that she's not that concerned about putting any sanctions on Israel. She's been all about putting sanctions against the Jewish state, supporting the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the BDS movement. And they are economic warfare, not a measured response. But, of course, when she is going after the Jews and Israel, oh, that's all fair game. That's the way they play that game, isn't it? So you go to dinner, and it's a lot of money. Everybody has some wine, some drinks, and you get somebody like me that says, I want another glass of Jack and another, and pretty soon, I mean, I'm not going to drive anywhere. I'm going to be okay, but you're paying for all of it. You're paying for my steak, and I think, what the hell? I want a piece of key lime pie at the end. All of it, it's all adding up. And then the bill comes. And I was expecting the other guy to pay for it. Everybody else was expecting the other guy, and suddenly he's got alligator arms, he can't reach the check. You know, you've seen that. Penny pincher. You can say the same thing right now, and some Democrats are, about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yep, that's right. Here's the woman who sided with Bernie Sanders and saying, "I'm all for socialism. We all pay our fair share. We all give to each other and help out each other." But not necessarily. Not when it comes to my backyard. She is refusing to pay party dues. Party dues. And she's refusing to provide money for colleagues in their battles against Republicans. Well, obviously, some of the Democrats are getting very upset. See, she's been building her own fundraising operation of fellow progressive candidates, ignoring the official Democrat Party infrastructure. And apparently he's already actively funding primary challengers to get rid of some of the Democrat colleagues in the House at this point. I'm looking at an article put together by Marissa Schultz of Fox News, and it clearly states and makes it evident that Ocasio-Cortez is all about her and those like her and other Democrats who are not as far left. She doesn't care if you swing slowly in the wind. She's not going to help you. What she is doing, in effect, is what Hillary did with the Democrat National Committee and the PAC money when she was running against Bernie last time. They had this little agreement. Hey, I'm Hillary. You're going to give this to me and just shut Bernie out? Don't give him a lot of money? And I said then, Bernie, you should be the one out there hollering, the election got, stolen from me and it was cheating and interference and collusion, but it wasn't the Russians, it was Hillary Clinton. So now we have Ocasio-Cortez just not ponying up the money, will not pay the party dues. Apparently, she has something like $250,000 in dues owed to the Democrat Congressional Committee. Hasn't paid it. One Democrat, Gregory Meeks of New York, said sometimes the question comes, do you want to be in a majority or do you want to be in the minority? And do you want to be part of a team? Making it clear to Ocasio-Cortez that, hey, you keep this up, you will not be part of the team and you probably will not be majority nor minority. And another source being quoted in the article, a House Democrat aide, said the deadbeat Cortez should pay her bills. She's always whining about people paying their fair share, and here she is leaving her friends with a bill. Sound familiar? And again, they're griping because she hasn't given any money to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And yet she has raised a lot of money. She has raised millions, topping the fundraising charts in her short time in Congress. She says, I have a beef with the Democrat Congressional Committee, and I will withhold the money because the Democrat Party is not backing insurgent progressive primary candidates like me. Instead, they want to protect the old line Democrats. She said, for me personally, I'm not paying those dues. I don't agree with the policy around blacklisting groups that help progressive candidates. Apparently, some of the Democrat Congressional Committee members decided to sideline vendors who were assisting the challengers in Congress. Said, I'm not going to pay. Now, isn't this interesting? This is inside the Democrat Party, which cannot find a candidate that's going to be viable against Trump anyway. And someone that was one of their rising stars, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is getting a lot of money and not sharing with the mainstream Democrats. $250,000? There's a report showing that she's led online fundraisers for at least two progressives trying to defeat sitting Democrat members of Congress. She got something like $18,000 in donations for Marie Newman taking on the current Illinois Congressman Dan Lipinski, a Democrat. She also gave an additional $5,000 directly from her campaign account to Newman. She raised $35,000 in online donations for the progressive challenger Jessica Cisneros trying to defeat Congressman Henry Cuellar of Texas, a Democrat. It's a circular firing squad, my friend, and I'm all happy about it. Let them shoot away at each other. In fact, that's what Cuellar says. Hopefully we'll start to get away from this circular firing squad. But they're not. She's not going to give money to Democrats she doesn't want to see continue in office because they're not far enough left. They're not the socialist that she wants them to be. And while I haven't heard her give these names, look at how her relationship has been with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Congressman Adam Schiff. In the third quarter of 2019, Ocasio-Cortez raised $1.4 million, more than any other House Democrat. And that includes Pelosi and Schiff. Her fourth quarter fundraising even bigger, the campaign hitting a goal of nearly $2 million. Her total 2019 fundraising, $5 million. She's only been in Congress since his last term started. She was a bartender and then ran for Congress on the leftist, left part of the ballot. And she's got a lot of folks supporting her, grassroots or whatever. But the bottom line is she's not going to share it. And the old line Democrats are really getting upset. Hey, you bring in that kind of money, you're supposed to help fellow Democrats. Well, she doesn't see them as her type of Democrat. So she's going to continue to hold on to the money. And they're looking around at her and saying, you're deadbeat. You're deadbeat. You're not doing what you said and helping everyone else. So much for share the wealth, right? You're not going to share it with the other Democrats that need help? Nope, apparently not. Not unless you're Bernie Sanders or you meet one of her leftist standards. Then maybe you can get some money from her. All right, we'll take a break. And what do you think about banning cell phones for anyone under the age of 21? Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, political correctness again. And, of course, this, even though this is happening in Britain, it certainly could happen here any day now, and probably does to some extent. They already had complaints in Britain about an ad that was a Volkswagen TV commercial. It showed male astronauts and then showed a woman with a baby and a stroller. And they didn't like it because it looked like the men were adventurous and the woman was just passive or engaged in stereotypical caregiving. She was just being a mother. And they didn't like it, so that ad got banned and pulled off. And then there's another one now that's a freelancer's website that had to apologize and retrain its advertising staff on using sensitive language. They had put out on their website, connecting freelance workers with businesses, and it stated, "You do the girl boss thing, we'll do the rest of it." What's the problem? Girl boss. Sexist. Well, they didn't say the girl secretary thing. I mean, I would have thought that was pretty good. I mean, you're the boss. But no, the fact that they said the girl boss, that's sexist, and so it should be pulled off, not be used. Originally, the group tried to defend the ad, saying, no, it's a good idea. I mean, it's a title for a New York Times bestseller list book and so forth. But in the end, they said, okay, we give up. We won't push the girl boss thing. I still say, I mean, if they had said girl secretary, okay, make noise over that. But girl boss means they're in charge. Well, I guess it's also upsetting to transgenders. Or I don't know who it's upsetting to. It really doesn't matter anymore, does it? It's just that some folks are just looking for a cause to make noise over. All right, I promoted this last hour and just told you again about it coming up. And I would imagine a lot of you out there said, Larry cannot be telling the truth on this story. This has to be fiction. This must be April Fool's Day. A plan, a proposal, a legitimate proposal by a Democrat to ban cell phones from anyone who's not at least 21 years of age. I'm not making it up. It's happening in Vermont. A Democrat introducing a bill banning cell phones for anyone under a legal drinking age, that would be 21. Points out, according to the bill, in light of the dangerous and life-threatening consequences of cell phone use by young people, it is clear that persons under 21 years of age are not developmentally mature enough to safely possess them. Stop it right there. How many of you know folks 21 or older who are careless when driving and texting and talking on their phone? Yep. But they're going to tie this to the drinking age and pointing out that the ban would be justified because the Vermont General Assembly has decided that persons under age 21 are not mature enough to possess firearms, smoke cigarettes, or consume alcohol. So now they're thinking, why not? We'll take away their cell phones too. They're not mature enough. You have to wonder, where was this Democrat? I mean, how'd they come up with this idea? I mean, sitting around with some others, smoking cigarettes, consuming alcohol, maybe firing a gun off in the air occasionally. Probably not a Democrat, but thinking, you know what we ought to do? We ought to ban cell phones for the kids. Just take them away. What do you mean the kids? Well, everyone under age 21. Let's just take their cell phones away. I think I'll introduce that bill in the state legislature. And he did. He introduced the bill only for the state of Vermont. But who knows, you know, once a bill gets into one state, who knows, maybe we should do what they're doing. I mean, and it's going to be tough. They're going to put not only a ban on anyone under the age of 21 using a cell phone. If you get caught, you could face a year in prison. 14-year-old caught with a cell phone, I guess you go to prison for a year. Or $1,000 fine. Maybe both. Well, just 14. Can I use it? No, you cannot. You're not mature enough. Oh, and they also add this. The internet, social media, accessed primarily through cell phones, are used to radicalize and recruit terrorists, fascists, and other extremists. Cell phones often been used by mass shooters of younger ages for research on previous shootings. Well, that's a fact, but I mean, again, is it the cell phone or the user? Oh, my God, Larry, do you know what you just did? That's almost akin to the gun control law. Yeah, they want to keep guns out of the hands of everyone that they can control and take away from, and now let's take away cell phones because, not because you'll use it that way, but because you might. Well, here's where it is at this point. It's going to be up for debate, and even the sponsor says, I have no delusions that it's going to pass. And then he adds, I probably won't vote for it myself. What a waste. What a waste. You come up with this, and now you're not even going to vote for it yourself. Typical Democrat. Typical. Back Monday, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.